So today's speaker is Her Grace Amrita Madhuri Mataji. So now you can continue, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. My Dandavat pranams to all of you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for inviting me once again on this Monday session for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are going to do Canto 3, Chapter 31. Verse number 41, and if time permits, let's do 42 also, because they are quite connected. Now, for verse 41, Canto 3, Chapter 31. Yamanyate patim mohan manmayam rishabhayatim stritvam stri sangata prapto vittapatyagraha pradam. Translation. Canto 3, Chapter 31, Verse 41. A living entity who, as a result of attachment to a woman in his previous life, has been endowed with the form of a woman, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as the bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and other material assets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. From this verse, it appears that a woman is also supposed to have been a man in his, in the bracket, her previous life, and due to his attachment to his wife, he now has the body of a woman. Bhagavad Gita confirms this. A man gets his next life's birth according to what he thinks of at the time of death. If someone is too attached to his wife, naturally, he thinks of his wife at the time of death, and in his next life, he takes the body of a woman. Similarly, if a woman thinks of her husband at the time of death, naturally, she gets the body of a man in the next life. In the Hindu scriptures, therefore, woman's chastity and devotion to a man is greatly emphasized. A woman's attachment to her husband may elevate her to the body of a man in her next life, but a man's attachment to a woman will degrade him, and in his next life he will get the body of a woman. We should always remember, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, that both the gross and subtle material bodies are dresses. They are the shirt and coat of the living entity. To either a woman or a man only involves one's bodily dress. The soul in nature is actually the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Every living entity being classified as energy is supposed to be originally a woman or one who is enjoyed. In the body of a man, there is greater opportunity to get out of the material clutches. There is less opportunity in the body of a woman. In this verse, it is indicated that the body of a man should not be misused through forming an attachment to woman and thus becoming too entangled in material enjoyment, which will result in getting the body of a woman in the next life. A woman is generally fond of household prosperity, ornaments, furniture, and dresses. She is satisfied when the husband supplies all these things sufficiently. The relationship between man and woman is very complicated, but the substance is that one who aspires to ascend to the transcendental stage of spiritual realization should be very careful in accepting the association of a woman. In the stage of Krishna consciousness, however, such restriction of association may be slackened, because if a man's and woman's attachment is not to each other but to Krishna, then both of them are equally eligible to get out of material entanglement and reach the abode of Krishna. As it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who seriously takes to Krishna consciousness, whether in the lowest species of life or of woman or of the less intelligent classes, such as mercantile or laborer class, will go back home, back to Godhead, and reach the abode of Krishna. A man should not be attached to a woman, nor should woman be attached to a man. Both man and woman should be attached to the service of the Lord. Then there is possibility of liberation from material entanglement for both of them. So here ends the purport of 41st verse. Let me just pray to my Guru so that he can speak through me to all of us. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swamini Iti Namine Namaha Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gaura Katha Damodaya Nagara Grama Tarini Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankhayate Girim Itkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Okay, so now we begin this verse explanation. So here the verse very clearly tells that attachment to a woman in the previous life gives us the body of a woman. Same way, if the woman is attached to her husband for whatever reasons mentioned here in the purport, then there is a chance that she gets the body of a man. But it all depends on, at the last moment of leaving our body, whom we are thinking of. If we thought of our husband being very attached, then we get a male body. If we thought of our wife being very attached to the wife, then we get a female body. So again, after getting a female body, see, again if she gets attached to her husband and then again gets a male body, and then again the husband gets attached to his wife and gets a female body, that's quite foolish, isn't it? That's quite foolish. That is why the translation says, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband. See, once, first of all, in the previous birth, he was attached to his wife and now got a woman body. Now again he is getting attached to the man who is her husband and then again gets a male body. So this is like, you know, committing the same mistake over and over again, despite being blessed with very special intelligence, which is actually meant to deliver us from all the sufferings of this world, just by being in the shelter of practicing devotees and later on in the shelter, under the shelter of Guru from a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. And then completely use all the attachments in service of Krishna. I repeat, we must use all our attachments, all our interests in service of Krishna. Now, why are we attached? Attachment is coming from, it's an age-old habit. In fact, not age-old, lifetimes. You know, from so many lifetimes, we have been getting attached to something or the other, to someone or the other. And that's very habitual. So it's not possible for us to give up attachment. Therefore, we have to dovetail the attachment. So we have to turn our attachment towards Krishna, somehow or the other. You know, because it is not natural now, no more natural now for us to get attracted to Krishna, because we are completely engulfed by Maya's influences in the mode of Rajoguna and Tamoguna, in the mode of passion and ignorance. So it is those two things that are not allowing us to even think in a sanely manner, you know, in a normal, you know, in a normal sattvic way. We cannot think when we are totally under the influence of the two lower modes. Therefore, we end up, as long as we are in passion, actually Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse number 8, purport. last para, you know, it has only one para, but last few lines, it says, in order to please his wife, children, and society, and to keep up his prestige, one has to work. Therefore, the whole material world is more or less in the mode of passion. You see? So we all, grihasthas, you know, are working. Why? In order to keep up the prestige also. You see, if we can stay in a very small, you know, slum area like place with a very minimum space, yeah, you know, just to eat, sleep, and to protect ourselves from sunlight and cold weather, that's enough. But no, we are all wanting something nice, you know, if possible, palatial house, you know, a nice wife. You know, ordinary woman also can be a wife, but we want a nice wife. We want nice children. Everything we want nice because we have that I am the enjoyer mood still with us. That is coming from the mode of, you know, passion. It's coming with us the time we fell down here. We wanted to enjoy. So now, you know, now also if we are allowing the mode of passion only to influence us, then we will end up working very hard. We get a house, that's not enough. We want a phone to contact our wife. Though we see her at night, evening, you know, in the morning, we still want to call her from the office. The wife wants to keep in touch with her children. I mean, so many things, you know, we have our big, big needs. And the phone, small phone is not enough. We want a smartphone so we can do this and that. Many things like this. You know, it all happens, you know, according to Prabhupada. It is all because of the mode of passion. See, modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standard of mode of passion. You see, it's all because of mode of passion we are having this modern civilization. Otherwise, as Prabhupada very clearly told, Varnashrama Dharma, you know, just have a nice farm, have enough number of cows, and grow your own crops, and have enough amount of grain stock in your house. That was considered richness. There was richness was assessed based on, you know, how much grains you have at home. You know, what is the stock of grains that you have at home and things like that. And how many cows and bulls you're taking care of. This was all considered richness those days. But now, under Rajoguna, you know, we have such modern civilization and that is considered as advanced by the material people. We call it advancement and very proudly, you know, people talk about that. Oh, see, now we have advanced so much that we have skyscraper buildings. We have such broad roads. We have metro also now on top of that, you know. But actually, is that advancement? Now, you know, formerly how it was. Prabhupada writes in chapter 14, verse 8, Bhagavad Gita purport last lines. Formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mode of goodness. So, formerly, if someone was practicing like a Brahmana, you know, reading scriptures, speaking scriptures, living scriptures, you know, then that person was considered as really advanced. There was so much respect for people in the mode of goodness. But it is our, you know, ignorance that we are not able to even distinguish who is advanced and who is not. We end up assuming that the one who is very wealthy is very advanced and great. And we ignore the wealth of devotion in someone, the wealth of humility in someone. Somehow there is no much weightage in modern advanced civilization, unfortunately. Okay, so what to speak? So if Prabhupada writes, if there's no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, actually in the previous verse, Prabhupada explicitly explains about Sattva Guna very nicely. And he says, even those people in Sattva Guna are actually attached to the happiness that comes from their activity. Since they are very attached to the happiness that comes from their activity and they are attached to their activity, next birth, if you are a poet, you will take birth as a poet. Next birth, if we are scientists, we take birth as scientists. Because we are working in Sattva Guna and we are quite attached and we are happy. So again, it is foolish to be bound by Sattva Guna also. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, if there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, What to speak of those who are entangled in the mode of passion? So, which means, you know, mode of passion, there is no hope at all. Only there is hope for those who are in the mode of goodness. That is, who are under Sattvaguna, they have hope provided they turn towards devotees, provided they take initiation from a guru one day, and they submissively, humbly serve him with all their heart. And then when guru is pleased, when they ask questions and they get causeless mercy and they advance, and then they go back to Godhead. So this is the ideal way, you know, how it should happen. But actually what's happening? Actually, you know, it is very, very few people, and Bhagavad Gita clearly says, you know, out of many, many people, very few would like to know about, you know, self-realization, about God, about spiritual life. And among such who try to, you know, understand spiritual life, very, very few attain perfection. So that is why, you know, most of them, here in this verse, they talk about the most of the others who are, you know, not attracted towards God, but attracted towards woman. Now, why is this attachment there towards woman? We get to hear it in the next verse, actually. So this attachment to woman, you know, makes us meditate on the woman, or in case if we are engaged in a woman body, then we are attracted to our husbands or whatever, you know, we are attracted to something, maybe to the smartphone or whatever, you know. So as long as we are attracted, we are all the time meditating on the attraction. See, the whole goal of life is that our attraction should turn towards Krishna. And now, as if by nature, we are attracted towards Maya. Maya in the form of woman or in the form of man. You know, that is the highest attraction. So now, what can be done? Actually, one thing is, first of all, we have to understand that we are wrong if we are not attracted to Krishna. Now, even as a practicing devotee, I will find it very difficult to tell that, am I really attracted to Krishna so much that all the time I can think of only Krishna? No. I have to force myself to think of Krishna. Therefore, I have to chant. I have to force myself to think of Krishna. Therefore, I have to read Bhagavatam, write exams, learn it. You know, so even now, after I have been chanting since the age of 19, and now after so many years, after several decades after that, then also, you know, our attraction, if it is not going towards Krishna, then we must understand what a horrible condition we are in. How we must have wasted our lifetime in the past lives. Therefore, in spite of our endeavors, still we have not got that spontaneous attraction, that natural attraction towards Krishna. We have not got it till now. That is the tragedy. And therefore, this verse is very much for people like us who have still not got that attraction towards Krishna. Why? Because there was, I would like to tell a story. It's just a story one Maharaj had told in ISKCON, that there was a man who was very intelligent. He had four sons. He was a businessman. And he also did not have attraction to Krishna. So he had no attraction to chanting also, nothing. But he knew, you know, from his parents, and you know, Indian culture is such that most of the children know something about the spirituality, know something about Krishna. So this person knew that, you know, at the time of leaving the body, if he calls out Krishna's name, just like Ajamila did, he too can go back to God. So all his life, he used it nicely, all his energy in just doing his business very nicely. He just, work very hard to earn more and more and more. Like Bhagavad Gita says in 16th chapter that, sometimes the demoniac people will think, today I have this much, then after some time, I will have this much, and then they are my enemies, I will finish them. These are all demoniac attitudes. We are grihasthas. If we are in grihasthashrama, then we have to earn, we have to save also, but our whole goal cannot be only earning. And in this man's case, the whole goal was to earn and to accumulate and to save for his children's sake. But he was intelligent enough to name his children as, Rama or Krishna or Vishnu or Narasimha, So then what happened was, when the time to die came, after several years, when he was old enough and when he was on the deathbed, he realized that any time I will have to leave the body. So immediately he called out, Rama, Krishna, Narasimha, what is the other name? Maybe Vishnu. He calls all the four names of children. And then when they all come, he says, hey, all four of you came. What will happen to our business? Who is there to look after business? Death. Immediately when he's asking who will look after the business, he left the body. You see, it was a joke actually, but the thing is, it is fact also. You see, we may try to cheat God, but God is the cheater of the cheats. He only says that in Bhagavad Gita. He's the cheater of the cheats. And among the cheating games, he says, I'm Dyuta, I'm the gambling. Yeah, that does not mean that we should start worshipping gambling and indulge in it. No, we have to follow the regulative principles. So now what happened was, this man, all along he only thought of his business. So obviously at the time of death also, he only thought of his business. So similarly, if we don't make it a habit now to think of Krishna when we are having a youthful body, a healthy body, now though it may be very much difficult, though it may be like poisonous, like this is Sattva Guna is poisonous like in the beginning and nectar at the end. Though it may be bitter to us like a medicine, but we have no other option because we know in spite of all our endeavors to be happy, we are suffering inevitably. So knowing that this world is a place of suffering, we have to convince ourselves that we like it or not, we have to make it a practice to spend as much time as possible with Krishna. Now, one may ask, in what way? Prabhupada writes actually in his book Shikshamrita, Shikshamrita volume 3, we were just reading something, and he says that, if you feel your mind is very disturbed, someone is telling that my mind is, I'm a split personality or something like that. So Prabhupada writes that under the title self-control, you'll get all this in volume 3 Shikshamrita, under self-control, you'll get this. He talks about sex, he talks about sleep, he talks about austerity, he talks about mind control. So in one of the topics, Prabhupada writes that, if you feel you are a split person, it's not exactly so. It's the mind that is, getting deviated or whatever. So what you do is you sit in one place and chant loudly, for a long time till your mind comes to the focus that is on Krishna. Till your mind comes to Krishna, you continue chanting. Actually, Prabhupada in another place says, it's not that, Hare Krishna mantra chanting only is the best, but any service, say reading Srimad Bhagavatam or cooking for the Lord, any service, if you're getting absorbed and doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, then that is very good, So if you like to chant, you chant more. If we like to maybe cook for the Lord, let's cook nicely, let's get absorbed in the service. The whole thing is chanting. Why do I understand it as the best? Because even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, while chanting, actually your tongue is engaged. When we're hearing the chanting, our ears are engaged, and in between, at least sometimes we'll end up focusing. So mind is engaged. and at the same time it is done with the mood of prayer. See, while cooking, we may think that, oh, I don't like it so spicy. We may not think it from Krishna's point of view. We may think according to our taste or our family member's taste. But while chanting, it is in the mood of prayer only. You know, it is Vandanam. So, you know, Shravanam happens, Kirtanam happens, Smaranam happens, Vandanam also happens. So, therefore, chanting is the best because the distraction chances are least when we chant. But when we do cooking, you know, our focus goes on how much salt, how much spice. Oh, if I make it spicy, my husband may not approve. You know, things like that. Such thoughts may come. But while chanting, if we get up in the Brahma Muhurta, see, chanting for a nice devotee who is already attracted to chanting, he chants all 24 hours of the day, he is equally attracted. But we who are not so advanced to focus at all the times on holy name, then for us it is best if we can get up early in the morning and if we can chant our rounds, because that time it is Shuddha Sattva time in the Brahma Muhurta. You know, it's actually we are not influenced by Rajoguna. Soon after 8 a.m. then Rajoguna will begin up to 4, and 4 to 8 again is Sattvaguna time, and again after 8 it is Tamoguna is going to beginning. Till the morning Brahma Muhurta time, maybe by 4 o'clock or so it will end. I'm not exactly sure, you know. But right from 8 up to early morning, up to Brahma Muhurta hours, it's all Tamoguna time. That's why, you know, it's best if we can wind up the day when Tamoguna begins and wake up very early and chant our good rounds. Then, you know, the whole day will be smooth. So like this, if we can do some devotional service in a way we get completely absorbed. See, now I heard, now all of you here, almost all are initiated devotees. So when initiated devotees means all of us would be chanting 16 rounds from many years now. So in spite of that, why are we still not attracted to Krishna? You know, that reason could be the offenses that we do, you know, or the reason could be that we've continued to keep to the attachment, like the 10th offense says, knowing that we're not the body, still we get, you know, keep our attachment. That's also offense. So here it is the 10th offense for devotees. When we talk about the devotees, if we are still attached to our spouse, that means, you know, we are actually doing the 10th offense. So we have to be very careful to avoid these offenses, which may be difficult, but let us do our best. Let us do our struggling part as nicely as possible. Then by the causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna, we will be able to get rid of this attachment. And if we both, husband and wife, if we can both turn our attraction towards Krishna Katha, towards Srimad Bhagavatam, towards chanting, towards hearing, towards serving devotees, then that life is going to be very blissful and very purifying, and we will become successful also. We will definitely not fall down. So here, Prabhupada says one point, let me just look at the time, 6:25, okay. So, yes, Prabhupada says, a woman's attachment to her husband may elevate her to the body of a man in her next life. Now, sometimes some feminists will come to fight, saying that, why do you call it elevating? You know, men and women are equal. So, you know, the answer is, just like a child and then adult are not equal in their thinking. Because child, balyastava kridasakta, child is interested in games, in toys. But tarunastava tarunisakta, but the same child, when it reaches the youth, then is attracted to opposite sex. It's a known fact. So, you know, in vriddhastava, same person, when he grows old, chintasakta, he's attached to worrying. Oh, my useless son, will he manage the business the way I did or not?
These people are so indisciplined. Therefore, I don't know how long it will run if I'm not there. There's so many things like that. You see how the body has an influence. If the child body is attracted to the toys and games. Youth body attracted to opposite sex. No more interested in the toy cars. You know, so similarly, male body has its influence and female body has its influence on the mind. Though we are all souls, but still we are disturbed by the body. Just like when there is a computer, it has a software. If it is an old machine, it may go slow. Same software in a new machine may work very fast. Our mobile was, you know, stopped working due to WhatsApp. We uninstalled and everything, did factory setup. Then now it's working. The same machine is working fine. You know, so like that, you know, if you give it a new touch, if you make it become like a new instrument, the same instrument will work better, same way. You know, if we can make our body spiritualize, you know, like if we can use the senses completely in service of Krishna, Krishna is like red hot fire. When our senses are regularly used in Krishna's service, then that red hot fire, our body and senses are like iron rod. Prabhupada compares it like that in first canto of Bhagavatam. So this iron rod in contact with the fire becomes red hot. Like that we also can get, our bodies can get spiritualized, and then, you know, there is no disturbance of this material world. We can never be disturbed. So now what happens is, even if you are in a woman body, you know, so if we can regularly indulge in service, you know, till now it is the beginning of Kali Yuga. I mean, some of the women are still not going out for a job. So if we are in that category of, you know, housemaker or homemaker, what you call it, okay, and then we can use most of our time in Krishna's service, so that we can really make the best use of this bad bargain or whatever you say. You know, you can, yes, we have got a female body, but we can use much of the time in Krishna's service, and then automatically we can come out of the less intelligent kind of mentality. You know, when do we call a woman as less intelligent? When she's so much focused on her, you know, body. Because you see, all women, you know, they are attracted to towards beauty, actually. They all want to actually maintain a nice complexion, nice skin, nice weight, so many things, you know, nice hair. So, you know, but men, they hardly care about, you know, their tanned skin or their weight or whatever. So the men are comparatively, you know, quite less attached to a woman. You know, men are not so much attached to their body as much as women are attached to their body. You know, most of the women visit beauty parlors, it's not men. So we can clearly see, even Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto, I don't remember actually, I have to reach till there. You know, he says, I've heard a devotee reading that Bhagavatam lines, that's why we're telling that. He says, you know, even to, you know, put some makeup on the face, or, you know, to polish the nails, or something like that, you know, to put anything, you know, is not required. Why? Because, you know, they are all, you know, makes us into the bodily, you know, focus. Our focus becomes on a bodily platform. See, the best use of having a body is to use the body to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Use the body to go to a temple. Use the body to hear about God. That is the best way of using this body. But if we just, you know, turn towards our body and start decorating it and spend all our time and energy on that, on studying on how to improve the complexion and many things like that, then, you know, we will fall under the category of less intelligent. Because intelligent means not that we score good marks in SSLC exam or something like that. Intelligence means, what is the goal? What's the purpose of coming here? Fulfill the purpose. That's it. Who fulfills the purpose of arriving here is intelligent. Who cannot fulfill the purpose of coming to this world is less intelligent. That could be in a male body or female body. So if one is less focused on the body and more focused on the purpose of coming here, what is the purpose? To see this place and go back. You know, because we wanted to enjoy separately. Krishna said, okay, go try. So we've come here, we've tried enough and more and seen only failures in becoming happy, you know, through self-gratification. So now it's high time we decide to go back. So go back because there is our real home and there is our real happiness. So if we can remember that our purpose is to go back, then we have no time to visit beauty parlors. Someone was joking, you know, he was telling that a beautiful lady like Sita Devi went into the beauty parlor and came out like Shurpanaka. You know, yes, you know, Prabhupada, that's why rights, women should have middle partition, you know, with the, if they're married, huh? If they're married, middle partition, tied up hair, they plait their hair, you know. So even Draupadi used to try her hair. She was the most beautiful woman, you know. And when her hair was opened by Dushyasana, by pulling her on the wrong day, in a wrong way, you know, then she says, I'll never comb my hair till my husband will, you know. Husband says, actually, Bhima says that I will, you know, tear up his chest and with this blood I will apply the oil on my wife's hair and I will plait her hair. So till then she does not, you know, tie her hair. Otherwise, tying the hair is the, you know, is the nicest thing to be done, which our beauty parlors are, you know, taking away. This culture is going very soon. So it's all because someone is too much focusing on, you know, so-called modern looks. Modern civilization, Prabhupada says, is passion, rajoguna. You know, so if we get entrapped by this mode of passion, there is no hope of going back to God. Therefore, I don't mean that all of you should tie your hair, but, you know, Prabhupada recommends that if we can, you know, tie up our hair, if we are married with the middle partition, and then if we can dress up in a respectful way, and so that, you know, our focus will go towards Krishna. You know, so if we can do that, then even a woman's body will be a blessing. So this woman body, the negative thing, is only applicable for those who are not spiritual minded, who are materialistic at heart. It's not applicable to the practicing devotee Vaishnavis. Okay, then he says it is, you know, in the body of a man, there is greater opportunity to get out of material clutches. So that is, you know, when a man is less attached to his body and when he is focusing on God, actually the males, you know, their body itself is a little influenced by sattva guna, you know. So they are having the tendency towards, you know, peace. Women may be into fights, but men are, male-bodied souls are generally, there will be exceptions always, are generally quite cool, you know, they don't get into quarrel. So they must use this body to serve Krishna. They must use this body to chant. They must use this body to uplift their wife who is struggling, you know, counterpart of theirs. So then he has a chance to go back. But Prabhupada says, but if it is misused by forming attachment, then he gets, you know, trapped. So now, actually, you know, Prabhupada also writes that women, you know, become very happy when husband supplies all the things like, you know, what is it told, wealth, progeny, house, material assets. Yes, that is the way a husband has to keep his wife happy. So keep her happy and then lovingly uplift her. This is the right way of leading grahasthashrama. Then as she gets uplifted, both husband and wife should focus on Krishna and on, you know, scriptures and on chanting holy names. Prabhupada writes actually in Shikshamrita that when you want to be, you know, having that self-control, then, you know, you should chant, you should serve, and when you finish your service and when you are free, then again continue chanting. If you don't have any other service, go on chanting. So means anytime we are not supposed to keep our mind free. So the best thing, if you are not so much into extra chanting, is at least let's start reading. You know, in reading, we get variegatedness. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam has a lot of nice things. And if we can really read in the mood of learning, then it becomes nectarian. You know, even for a person like me who has no taste for chanting, at least, you know, by Guru's mercy, I like to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So if all of us can at least identify which service we like to do, let us indulge. Some people will love hearing kirtans, you know. So they must indulge in hearing kirtans whenever they have free time. Some people will love singing, you know, kirtans. So they should indulge in that. So in whatever seva you are attracted to, let us indulge in that so that we can get really absorbed. And if we do so, then for sure we are going to go back to God. Otherwise, if we continue to get attached to opposite sex, then there is no hope for us. So Prabhupada writes in the last lines, both man and woman should be attached to the service of the Lord. Now how it will happen? If the man is a good leader, if he uplifts the woman, then it becomes easy. What if the man is not a devotee and only woman is a devotee? Then woman has to take lead, because woman is, you know, woman body is blessed with more of Rajoguna. So let us use this Rajoguna to grow up in devotional service. Let us be very passionate about becoming devotees. It's okay, it is inferior category. It's not done with the, in a right mode maybe, but doesn't matter. Let us start like that. Then by the causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna, they will bring us to a very nice platform in a regulated way where we can really, you know, willingly, happily be always in the mood of serving Krishna and Guru, you know, in whatever way possible. So there we end today's class, because the time is up already. Now it is some time left. You can ask questions if you have.
Hare Krishna Mataji, what works we are doing right now? I came in little late today.
It is Canto 3, Chapter 31, Verse 41. It was about attachment to a woman. You know, if we have attachment to a woman in previous life, now you will be endowed with the form of a woman. And then if we foolishly look upon Maya in the form of man, who is the husband, then, you know, we just get bound. So the purpose is to use these attachments and to get rid of Maya and go back to Krishna. This was the verse. Verse number 41, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dandavats to you.
Mataji, I have one question. As you said,
yes,
we should, whatever service we like, we should do that. So, isn't it my sensitive situation, Mataji? It's like I like decorating, then tracing them and decorating my temple. So, I like that service because that's why I'm doing. So isn't it my sensitive position, Mataji?
Yeah, that is true. But it is better than not even doing that. It is better than not even doing that. If you don't do that, what else will you do? If there is no other service, see, we are talking about, see, first of all, japa, whether you like it or not, you should do it. And whatever service is given to you by the seniors, that you like or not, you must do it as nicely as possible. And after that is over, in the free time, we told you that you do the service which you like. So that otherwise, we will end up doing things what we are not supposed to do. There are chances are there, right?
Yeah.
So that is why... So that is why the extra time we were talking about, the extra time what we have, it is better we indulge in a service we like. I do that, you know. I will do my japa and the cooking and whatever guidance my daughter wants, okay, I will do. Then the rest of the time, whatever I get, I just wait to accumulate and do my Srimad Bhagavatam reading because I have to answer test. I am doing it because reading is my sense gratification also. You are right. But if I don't do that, I will end up going to Google and end up seeing something else, which is not required. It could be some gossip, some nonsense. I don't want to do that. That is why I have made sure that those advertisements don't come and I focus on Bhagavatam. So that at least now let us start with what we like, because we have not reached a stage where we can non-stop chant. Now we have not reached that purity where we have got that attraction, you know, that very nice strong attraction for holy name. We've still not got ruchi, asakti, we've still not got. Probably most of us might not have reached the nishtha level also. We are still suffering with anartha nivritti stage. So at this time, for a beginner like myself, I was telling that it is better that we will focus on the services what we like at least. Yes, in bhakti also, you know, our teacher was telling, I guess it was His Grace Adipurush Prabhu, when we were doing Bhakti Shastri course, he was telling in bhakti also there are levels, you know, there is a level of karma yoga. In a bhakti yogi also, there is karma yoga. That is when we do services which we love to do, like a temple pujari, he may love doing the pujari seva, he will do it. But when asked that you do cooking today and we will give the pujari, if he doesn't want to, no, I don't want to cook, that's your business, it's not my business. Then he's being too attached, you know, that is actually like a karma yogi in bhakti yoga. The better level is, that's not bad, but that's not, you know, helping us to grow further. To grow further means, don't be attached to the post of a pujari, but be attached to the service. This is Bhakti Dheer Goswami Maharaj or something, you know, I don't know the exact name. His Holiness, something Dheer, you know, Goswami Maharaj. He had forwarded this message. And in fact, we have learned about it in Bhakti Shastri course. So that is the initial stage. So then, you know, in Bhakti also, we can graduate to the level of Dhyana. That is probably when, you know, we focus so nicely on the Holy Name, like a Dhyana Yogi, like a one who is doing, you know, Pranayama and all that. So our chanting becomes like a pranayama, you know, regulated. With one breath, we will be able to do certain number of japa. I mean, it all happens unconsciously, you know. So I don't know the details actually, you know, like that. Actually, finally, we reach to bhakti yoga. It's the level of bhakti yogi only, you know. So initially, we are at a karma yogi level while we practice bhakti yoga. And then we graduate to, you know, dhyana. And you know, jnana, dhyana, and then we reach to the level of bhakti yogi. That is the purest level, pure devotee level. So till we reach there, we have to begin somewhere, na? So it's okay, Mataji. If you are attached to some service, no problem. Please, whenever you have extra time, do that service that you like. So that the purpose is that you have to get absorbed somehow or the other in the service. Otherwise, we end up getting absorbed in our attachments to our family members. If not to our husband, we are attached to our children. If not to our children, to our husband. You know, so we have to get rid of that, for which we have to somehow or the other get attached to Krishna's services, Guru's services. That's it, Mataji. Yes. Anything else?
No, Mataji. Thank you. Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
So, there is no question. Can I take about maybe 3-4 minutes? I like to say a little story.
Yes, Prabhu, please carry on. You can tell the story. We will all hear.
Okay. What it is it's a training of our mind, and it is like a my best guitar. So mind is described as like a wild horse, you know, very bad, you know, very uncontrolled horse. And somehow or other, this material mind and material intelligence, they are like a deep root cause of for a person not to become a Krishna conscious, and somehow or other, like, you know, it kind of makes you take another birth, and it just carries on and on and on, birth after birth after birth. You have polluted intelligence, polluted mind, you know. Bhishma Pita says that he was given he says, how do you train the horse? You know, horse is not trained. He's young. He likes to do running and he's very big and everything. Like, how do you train the horse? So the answer was that you get on a horse, but after getting on a horse, you do not start pulling the rein and things like that to the horse. You just let him run so much, maybe 2 miles, maybe 10 miles, let him run whatever he likes. And after running that horse will be tired. One point in time, the horse will be tired. And when he gets tired, and now you start training him. So, what one needs to do in reality is that one needs to feel that our mind is a horse, that the horse is tired, you know. Horse is tired, how, in a sense that you have to really understand from a perspective of intelligence that I'm really tired. We will study this story in Srimad Bhagavatam about Gajendra. Gajendra is fighting with a crocodile, and he's fighting and fighting, and he's fighting for 1,000 years. So at the end, after fighting so much, he wants to get out from a lake, and this crocodile he's pulling into the lake, and one point in time, Gajendra, the elephant, find out that, you know what, no matter how powerful I am, my wife has left me, my children has left me, and I cannot get out. I am really tired. No matter how powerful I am, I cannot really fight against this crocodile, and for sure I am dying, and it is not possible for me to get out. So analytically, he understood with intelligence that, oh, I'm done, I'm tired and I'm done and there is nothing I can do. Okay, so we have to either practice to learn or accept the truth. Practice to learn, in a sense, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukha, Dosanu, Darshanam. That we have to really find and understand that there is material pain anywhere and everywhere you go, in a Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, and all other things in between. There is nothing but the Dukha. Even though we feel that everything is nice and good, but it is not. And that is how we train the mind. Now, in training, yes, the horse will be moving around, and he might even hurt himself, or something will happen. But at the end, after so much of a pain and suffering, the horse gets trained. So, same way, if we really think ourselves that anytime there is a learning, two things happen. When there is a learning, somebody is trying to teach us something, number one. And the second thing happens is we do not want to leave our ignorance. We also want to hold on to our ignorance. And somebody else is trying to teach us, you know, that this is what you do. But then we are very happy to let go our old habits and all this and this and this, things like that. So out of all these things, this is attraction. Attraction, now I'm coming to the conclusion. The attraction is that it is like this. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see this, but I don't know the name. But हम लोग उसको बोलते हैं कि वो जंगल में जाता है ना पक्षियों को पकड़ने के लिए उसको क्या बोलते हैं?
Hunter?
नहीं hunter तो वो बांध लेके जाता है लेकिन वो चिड़िया को पकड़ने के लिए जाता है ना वो जाल लगाता है.
हाँ net.
वो तो नेट तो जाल है लेकिन जो आदमी को क्या बोलते हैं
हंटर.
नहीं नहीं हंटर तो वो उसका एरो ये सब लेके जाती है लेकिन
पारदी पारदी को क्या बोलते
हैं पारदी 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 को क्या बोलते हैं वो जाल लेके जाता है ना वो सभी चिड़िया को पकड़ने के लिए सभी बर्ड्स को पकड़ने के लिए. एनीवे जस्ट अमेजिंग दैट देयर इज अ मैन एंड अगेन यू हैव टू इमेजिन इफ यू हैव नॉट सीन इट बट ही टेक्स अ नेट टू कैच ऑल दिस बर्ड्स. सो व्हाट ही डज इज He puts a net, and he after putting a net, he puts seeds, like, you know, corn or this or rice or something for the birds to eat. So if there is a net by itself, and if he does not put seeds, then no birds will come to eat, right? Because there is nothing to eat, so why would they come? By empty net, nobody is going to come there. But they are attracted to the dhanya, to all these little grains and this and that, all other things. So all these birds come, and after coming and they eat, and after eating, what they do? They get trapped. You know, they get trapped. And after, when they get trapped, they're walking here and there, and the net is right there, and their feet get trapped, so they cannot really fly, and then this man... He carries everything and all these birds, and he just go home and they sell it, and then they kill it and things like that. So, what is attraction for the bird? For the bird, the attraction is what? Rice and things like that. But then, due to just eating the rice, they got trapped and they had to lose their life. So the same way, this attraction between men and women and all other things what is going on is, you could say that in this verse, this trap is a house and progeny and whatever, everything. And there is a trap for you. And once you are attached and attracted, you are like, you know, they have really trapped you very bad, and that's it. You lose your life, and lose your life in a sense. You lost your intelligence, and now you have to give up the body, and then again we, you know, born again. And this is the precarious condition in this attraction. You know, Prabhupada said many times, the fish is attracted to the worm to eat and he loses a life. The elephant is attracted to the sex life, and elephant, you know, they can like walk him like little baby, you know, just by catching him. And deer is attracted to the sweet sound, and you know, a hunter kills the deer, things like that. But try to understand that as a human being has five senses that he can get attracted to. The fish just has one problem, which is just eating, you know, worm. That is just the one problem, but we have all problems, you know, in a human body. So we have to be extremely careful. I mean, attracted to the opposite sex is the highest, but if we control our senses and mind very nicely, we teach our mind, you know, oh mind, please, please, please. Somehow or other, you know, you have to beg to Krishna, you have to teach to mind and things like that. And somehow or other engage into devotional service. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, the answer is Karishya Vachanam Tava, you know, that please somehow or other let me follow Lord Krishna and my Guru Maharaj, and let me make advancement in spiritual life. Other than that, we all have ignorance, but don't be attached to our ignorance. Okay, Hare Krishna. Namaskaram.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Actually, you said half of the explanation of next verse also. It says about, you know, just a sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer. That is why I was thinking if I could finish this 42nd verse, but there was no time. So it is nice that you explained. Thank you very much. You have almost given a completing explanation for whatever we had today. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, how would we know, like, our all action, like, how can we differentiate our action by all the gunas? Like, if I do something, how can I
wonderful.
Understand. I understand that this is in mode of goodness.
Rajoguna.
Yeah. Or more of ignorance. More of goodness is little easier, but more of ignorance and more of passion is little hard. How can we see that in our everyday action? Like, you know, very little things. It's very subtle.
Very nice question, Mataji. Very wonderful question. Thank you so much for this question. The answer is, as you said, Sattva Guna means, you know, any activity after you do, 18th chapter says that. 18th chapter, we come to know, Sattva Guna activities are like nectar in the beginning and, like poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. So, after waking up early and finishing japa, you will feel happy that, you know, it's Sattva Guna, you know, or it could be even above Sattva if you have done it, getting absorbed, you know. So, if you are feeling happy after the activity, it's obvious it's Sattva Guna. But if you are feeling, you know, initially very happy while doing an activity, and at the end you feel really, you know, horrible, like poison, then that was Rajoguna activity. See, generally when we deal in little activities, when we get irritated or when we get, jealous or when we feel the pain in the heart, we have to immediately understand it is not the outside person who is causing us the pain, but it is our own Rajoguna influence on the heart. We have allowed to, you know, cause that influence. That is why we are suffering. So, you know, if we feel any disturbance in the heart, then that was a Rajasic activity. Immediate thing is that I have not focused sufficiently on Krishna. It's the immediate remedy. I have not focused. Now let me turn towards my favorite service. So this way, I always do that. The minute I am little disturbed, I understand, oh my God, I am under Rajoguna now. This is so disturbing, because most of the time by Guru and Krishna's mercy, our heart is quite blissful. But at times, there is some disturbance, the slightest disturbance also, we feel like, you know, hell, to be very honest. We feel like hell. But I don't want that nonsense, you know. So then we just turn towards Bhagavatam reading and start, you know, deeply learning Bhagavatam, making notes, byhearting points. And then after some time, we are fit and fine, nice, you know. So that is why whenever there is a disturbance, understand that we have indulged or we have allowed Rajoguna to have asar on our heart, to have some influence on our heart. But suppose if we are feeling very lazy, not wanting to do anything, you know, then, you know, there is no mood to do anything altogether. Or if we are really very mad at someone, you know, really very angry, then, you know, these are symptoms of Tamoguna, because Tamoguna activities, when they begin also, it's really horrible, like poison. When we end the activity also, it is horrible, like poison. So, when we don't feel like doing, the madness, indolence, you know, that is 14th chapter, verse number 8, if you just read, it very clearly explains about what is Tamoguna. I just read two lines. O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion of the embodied living. So if we feel deluded completely, you know, we don't know what to do, what not to do, you know, sometimes that can happen when really shocking things happen, you know, then that is Tamoguna. The results of this mode are madness, indolence. So, you know, by the symptom of that, you know, that particular activity, you know, we understand. So if we feel mad, if we feel the indolence or sleepy, too sleepy, you know, don't want to do anything, lethargy. Now, this sleep is, you know, sometimes if, not just if we didn't have sleep, but it could be because we have postponed some activity and, you know, we really don't face to do that activity. We feel that, oh my God, that work is pending from so many days. But, you know, I think I didn't have enough sleep. Let me just take little rest and come back. That is Tamoguna, you know. We don't want to do it even now, you know, which binds the conditioned soul. So these are the things. When you feel really mad, when you feel indolence, when you feel sleepy, when you feel angry, you know, madly angry, you know. So these are the things that tell us that, you know, we are totally under the influence of Tamoguna. But what I understand is, whenever, you know, we are in Rajoguna or Tamoguna, there is actually, there may not be urgent need to discriminate whether it's Rajoguna or Tamoguna, but we are in bad state. Because as long as we are not in Sattva, there is no chance of going back to Godhead. So the minute anything below that, rajoguna or tamoguna, tamoguna is worse, we go, you know, if we stick to it, we go to animal body. Rajoguna is better, there are chances of again coming back with the human body. Only sattvaguna confirms a definite human body, or, you know, maybe in the higher heavens like Brahmaloka or Indraloka or Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, whatever, the lokas are the seven planets. We can go there only if we're in sattvaguna. But if you're in sattvaguna, if we can come out of sattva by doing all the sattvic activities just to please Krishna. You know, if we just start remembering Krishna by doing our own regular activities in a nicest way, then there is chance of going back to Godhead. But if we are in sattva, it is okay. It is kind of okay stage. But anything below that means what I do, if I feel little disturbed, then I consider it as fail, you know. Then that moment, it was a totally wrong thing to indulge. So I have to get out. Then I just go to, I take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is really uplifting. It really helps. So forget about discriminating between Rajoguna and Tamoguna. But we just let us understand, you know, two states. One is taking to God. One is keeping us here. As long as we are not in the direction of, you know, doing something for God, then it's all waste. See, whether we get punya, we go to Indraloka and come back. When kshine punya martalokam vishanti, we will finish punya, we'll come back here. We go to Naraka, there also when we finish our papa, we come back here only. So, you know, Rajoguna and Tamoguna, both of them are equally bad for us devotees who are really wanting to go back to God. So if we feel even slightest disturbance in the heart, let us just ignore, you know, whatever happened, and let us focus on, you know, Krishna somehow or the other. Of course, ignore means if we have slapped someone, we just can't say, now I ignore it. No, if we have done something wrong, let us do something to apologize and to correct our behavior. And then let us immediately turn to God so that we don't fall down to that previous stage of committing mistakes. Or if someone has committed, you know, some small little harm, and if you're feeling upset about it, that means that is again, you know, Rajoguna. Or if it is, we're feeling worse, it's Tamoguna. Even if we feel slightest disturbance in the heart, then let us ignore them and that, you know, activity. Let's focus on God, because at the end of the day, I have to eat what's in my plate and the other person has to eat what is in his or her plate. So that karma, what they do, they are going to face it in future. But our karma, we have to only take care. We have to suffer. Therefore, let us, you know, just not keep a count of anybody's any fault, and whenever we feel someone has hurt us, let us just divert our mind to Krishna, because our focus cannot deviate from Krishna. The minute we turn our heart towards Krishna, even if we had the heavy experience of just feeling cheated by someone very close, by our children, by our spouse, even such heavy cheating also, you know, that disturbance also, when we turn towards Krishna, we can feel lighter. You know, one simple formula which we have to remember is, as long as we have committed the karma of cheating, we will get cheated, you know. So let us allow whatever we have no control, let us not do anything about it. Whatever we have control is how we use our time now. So let us use our time completely in getting indulged in Srimad Bhagavatam or in hearing Kirtan or in singing Kirtan or whatever service we really love doing. That way we can just get free from the disturbed status of mind which must have happened just now also. I hope that helps. If you have any other questions, you can ask. Thank you so much for this question.
Thank you, Mataji. Mataji, so like, you know, what about like if we have a devotee friend and if we fight or if we do anything, that's how can we know that it's a mode of goodness or mode of passion?
Ah, with devotee friends, Mataji. fighting is not a good option, you know, for any reason. Anything can be done without a fight. Fight itself is passion or, you know, tamas actually, passion or ignorance, fight itself, you know. So we get mad finally, you know, we get angry. But, you know, with devotees also, sometimes, you know, when we were the student and our mentors, you know, they correct us. And then after 3-4 months, we again commit the same mistake. My own story, and again, my mentor will correct me. And the third time, she will yell at me, but I was never angry with her because she was my mentor. I respected her and I loved her chastising me because I felt I really deserved it. So if someone is mature to receive at the other end, they will never get into a fight with you. Or if we are matured, we will not get into a fight with anyone. You know, for any reason, we can do it without a fight. You know, if we are prayerful, if we beg Guru and Krishna, suppose someone is doing something wrong, then we can prayerfully and lovingly give a correction if they deserve to take it, or if they have given us a correction, and if that is correct according to scriptures, we can take it like an uplifting experience, then there is no fight only. Fight is one activity which happens only in ignorance. My teacher had told me that when I had spoken about a fight with my spouse, you know, he had told Mataji that is only ignorance. When you come out of ignorance, when you are completely, you know, into learning scriptures, when you become real Shastra Chakshu at the end of Bhakti Shastri course, and when you start really practicing it, when you are out of ignorance, then there won't be any single fight. So you see, Prabhupada never had to fight with any of his disciples. When he shouted, the disciples took it. But because he had served them so much that they were in a position to take it. But what if our teacher only commits mistakes? Then we can just avoid them. We can ignore them. Something like that, you know. If the teacher commits a mistake, then maybe we don't have to give them a correction, because it is, you know, we are not at that level, you know. We can ask them to open a book. This is what I was taught by some of my senior devotees, that if a senior devotee does something wrong, give them a book and ask them to explain that to you. So whenever I get Srimad Bhagavatam, these verses, I feel, oh my God, it's like a lesson for me, you know. Like that, you know, if they're sincere devotees, when you ask them to explain, they will understand that they have to not be committing these mistakes. And if they're not sincere, you can't do anything about it. So leave it. So whatever we can do, let us do. Whatever we cannot do, let us leave it. And if it is simple fight, if we have somehow, if we are equally, both parties equally ignorant at that moment of, you know, time. Maybe we are always in the sattva guna, and one single bad moment, we ended up both together in tamas and we got into a fight. Now what to be done? Now, you know, if we really want to grow, we can go to that person and apologize. You know, in my life also, I had colleagues in the Indian High School Dubai when I was a computer teacher, and I was new and they were having 3-4 years experience. And so they were considering themselves seniors because they were seniors actually by experience. And I was telling them to get the computers repaired for the benefit of students, and they were not listening to it. They were saying, we are doing it, it's not happening. We are complaining to the main school and it's not happening. So then I, being very over enthusiastic in the year 2002, long back, and I just wrote a letter directly to the authorities saying that, in a very, very nice way, you know, I wrote a letter, and that made them call these people only and ask, who is this newcomer Achala who has written a letter to me directly saying so many computers have to be repaired, so many monitors are wrong, so many keyboards are not working, you know. And then they came to me very much offended. When we seniors are there, didn't we tell you? Every message will come to us only, like that, you know. They came very angrily, and I also defended myself because I had not started my Bhakti Shastri course those days, or maybe just started, maybe 1-2 classes over, something like that. And then Then I told them, see, I told you to do it. You didn't do it. So I myself tried doing it. Now maybe the computers will be replaced. They said, no, it will never happen. I mean, there was some heated, just like how you said, there was some heated, you know, discussion. We can call it a fight. But soon after that, maybe the same day or in the next day, I was having a devotee heart. I knew that, you know, fighting is not good for me and even for them. So I told them, see, Sindhu, actually, I didn't want to get into a fight. You know, by fighting, there's so much of disturbance in the heart. I should not have, even though you said that you should not have gone, I should have maybe said, yeah, you told me, but it was, I just wanted to give it a try. And I should have stopped at that. But there was no need for me to defend so much and argue with you so much, disturb you, disturb myself. So, you know, I'm very sorry for that. Please forgive me. I told her that, you know, I thought started probably my Bhakti Shastri at that time. I think I started 2003 and ended by 2005 because we were in Dubai and very rarely devotees used to come. Sometimes there would be a big gap and then it would continue like that. So then, you know, the Sindhu, my Christian friend, you know, she became so shocked when I said that so openly that, you know, I got into an argument with you. It was wrong. I was angry. I'm sorry. All these things. And I was very genuinely telling it from my heart because I didn't want that, you know. Then she said, wow, Achala, you are speaking correct things, yaar. I also should have thought like that. Very nice, yaar. Finished. That was the first quarrel, and there was one in between second quarrel, but that second quarrel was the last. So from first to second, we became best friends. And I started teaching her all the Bhakti Shastri lessons, what I was learning. She was my Christian friend. And she started loving it, even to the extent that I saved my Guru Maharaj's Maha and asked whether she wanted to take. If she eats, she'll get some our Guru's divine qualities. And she said, whatever it is, godly people give me. And she had consumed it also. And finally, you know, then there was one small quarrel. But again, after the holidays, you know, we were not speaking for some time. And after the holidays, she comes to me and she apologizes, saying, Achala, I'm very sorry for fighting with you. God has punished my husband by removing him, you know, from whatever. I don't want to continue now. You know, that's it. You know, and I said, no, it's okay. It happens, you know, and I forgave her. And then we continued to be the best of friends. Then when, after that, after so many years, I had taught her Trinada Pishuni Chena, Tarura Pishuni, all that. So when we are ready to forgive and when we are ready to really forgive from the heart and we're ready to love them, they also will receive, because our Paramatma will communicate to their Paramatma and they become happy and we become happy. So Paramatma will communicate, will sort out the quarrel. So if at all we got into a quarrel, then it is Paramatma's headache to sort out if we are apologetic and if we regret what we did and if we try to avoid such things. So if at all there was a quarrel, then we can always go and apologize, because devotees are devotees. You know, even if we fight tomorrow, when they see you grow in devotional service, they will secretly feel proud about you. That is a symptom of a devotee. Devotees may be envious a little bit, but their envy does not last long. They are not like materialists. They really admire. You know, so Mataji, we don't have to worry about a fight. All we have to worry is about apologizing and sorting out the issues if it is possible. But suppose if you really don't like to meet someone, then maybe you can apologize once and then say, but you know, I am a little busy and I won't be able to much talk over phone or things like that. Like that you can keep distance, but one apology, if we have hurt one another, will always be a must in a devotee's life, because ultimately, if today is the day to go back to God, then do we have any problem in apologizing? No. You know, if it's only because of this quarrel, if we have to come back to attain perfection just to learn to say sorry, then it's better we do it now only. And then if we don't like the person, if we don't get along, let us keep away from them. But let's not get into a fight. If we have got into a fight, let's sort it out. That's all, Mataji. Thank you so much for your very wonderful question. Anything else?
Thank you, Mataji. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dandavats to you.
Very, very wonderful, sir, Mataji. Mataji, I have a question. Like at the beginning, you said whatever the person is thinking at the time of death, he will get the same body. Like if he is thinking about life, so he will get the similar body in next life. So, Mataji, if the person is not like conscious, he's unconscious and not eating anything like some days. It happens like, you know, for like days, like 15 days, 1 month, like that the person is simply just drink water or something like that. And when he leaves the body, nobody even knows that he left or not. So at such time, what do you think?
Oh, very nice question, Mataji. Your voice was not very audible, but I understood by the in-between words what I heard. You said if someone is trying to be Krishna conscious, if I have not heard it wrongly, and at the end, what if he becomes totally unconscious, and in unconscious state when he is not even drinking water properly, one day suddenly he leaves when nobody is around, what will happen to such a person? Right, Mataji? That's the question, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, good. I'll tell you. So this is a very nice question actually. You know, if we have been very sincere in being Krishna conscious and at the end if we become unconscious, it is Krishna's headache to take us back to Godhead by reminding us. And one case what happened is one Prabhupada's very nice disciple was told to open a center in Japan or China, something like that. You know, one very nice country actually. There Prabhupada told, if you open a center and if you preach, no, then I will personally take you back to Godhead. And this disciple very enthusiastically opened a center, made many devotees. And then unfortunately, no, forget about, you know, being Krishna conscious and becoming unconscious, then even he fell down actually, you know, because of the past bad habits somehow, you know, by the attack of Maya. But he never offended devotees, you know, he didn't commit any offense against devotees. He did something, I mean, he did fall down and he was not coming to temple and somebody else was running. And then finally once, you know, they came to know he has got some cancer or last stage or something, and then he was hospitalized and there he was unconscious. And there he was unconscious, and then what happened was when it was time for him to die maybe, when luckily when some doctors were around and maybe devotee also, I don't know, he suddenly in his unconscious state, so far no activity in his body, suddenly he sits up straight and says, oh Prabhupada, you came to take me. And then he falls down, he left his body. So Prabhupada kept his word. When he said that, you know, that I will take you, if you have preached there, I will take you, though he committed mistakes, some things, and he fell down, then also Prabhupada kept his word. That is one case, but you are saying specifically that what if we are unconscious, you know, if we are unconscious also, Krishna will definitely take. And also we have recently heard someone in unconscious state also, you know, when we chant, etc., actually, at the time of going to unconscious, no? When we, at the time of going into unconsciousness, our mind, by habitual practice of trying to be Krishna conscious, even when we go to unconscious state, that will go to the Krishna conscious state. And in our so-called unconscious state, the mind, you know, the deep down, what you call subconscious mind, will be focused on Krishna. And then, you know, when we leave the body, it hardly matters, you know, we will go back. And even if we have not done that, if we have sincerely been following 16 rounds of Japa and 4 regulative principles, initiated disciple of someone who is a disciple of Prabhupada, then, and if you have sincerely passed our life following, you know, the rules of set by Guru and Krishna and Prabhupada, then if we fall into unconscious state, Absolutely nothing to worry. It is Guru and Krishna's headache to take us back to Godhead. There is no fear, Mataji. Krishna will protect, especially you, I think, because you are so concerned. All of us will be protected, Mataji. All of us will be taken care of. If we are very sincerely struggling to be, we don't have to be Krishna conscious. But if we are simply struggling to be Krishna conscious, then about the later part of being unconscious, there's nothing to worry. It is their hard work. I mean, they will take us back to God. I hope that helps. Anything else?
Thank you, Mataji. It was really...
Thank you so much.
Really nice. I just forgot like what will work. You reminded me. Mm-hmm. And class was very good. Mataji, yeah, I like the point in like, you know, it's very hard to control mind and like keep engaging mind in services, whatever service you are doing. If you finish that, go back to chanting.
Yes, very good, Mataji. How you will not go back to God? You are conscious or unconscious, you will go back to God only. You are grasping so nicely. Very nice. This is Kaumidati, Mataji, right?
No, this is Shyamagauri.
Shyamagauri, oh, your voice is cutting in between. That is why it sounded like hers.
Oh, sorry, Mataji.
No problem. So nice. But I heard, don't worry, Mataji. Don't worry. You just focus as much as possible on Krishna and it is his headache. It is his headache to take us back to God.
Hare Krishna, can I just share one very good example?
Yes, Prabhu.
According, like in related to this term.
Yes, Prabhu.
In America, we have a, like, you know, when kids are small, they teach, like, don't talk to stranger, do this, things like that. But then they teach, like, if you have a problem, if you are in emergency, then you call 911, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And 911, you call and then... the help arrives, like a police or a fire or this or medical or anybody and everybody just comes up and shows up and then they try to rescue you. So say for example, you're doing your job and what do you, and say whatever you are doing and then all of a sudden it's very hard, you are in very bad condition and what do you need to do? All you have to do is call 911. And when you call, and if that call does go through, and police finds out that, okay, you are in a problem or you are in trouble, what happens? The only thing has to happen is just call 911. And as soon as you call 911, what happens? Everybody comes. Everybody. Like, you know, police will come and the fire people will come and, I mean, you know, anybody and everybody will come to figure out what's going on. One time, I had an issue, like my daughter somehow or other, she was like, you know, playing and she just dialed 911 and then the police came and she says, oh, somebody dialed 911? I said, no. I said, well, the police says, no, somebody dialed 911. And he says, no, we did not dial it. And then I had to go through entire thing just to figure out that if there is anybody who dialed 911. And then we found out that she was playing and by accident, you know, she dialed 911. So same way, please try to understand that this dialing the emergency number is not a fun because it is just not dialing like anybody, like, oh, I call my father, oh, I call my sister, or I'll call anybody else. No, 911 is working. Somebody may or may not come. Your neighbor may come or may not come, or somebody may or may not come. But when you dial 911, the emergency personnel comes. So same way, please understand that when you are dying, somebody may or may not come. You think that, oh, this guy will come and he will save me. My friends will come and save me. My somebody else will come and save me. My daughter or son or anybody will come and save me. They may come and they may not come, but forget about saving it. That's not possible. But when you chant Krishna's holy name, it's like 911. When you chant Krishna's holy name, Krishna comes to your tongue and he dances. And Krishna is not like anybody else, like a, you know, demigod or anybody else like that. Oh, Surya will come and help me, or Chandra will do this, or Indra will do this, or Rudra will do this. No, it's not like that. It's not in their capability. Even though how good your relative will be to help you, but no, they cannot really help you because it's an emergency. So the same way, just like a 911 personnel comes and help you, the same way, I mean, it's bad because they sometime in our real life history, even you call 911, but person may not be saved. They have to die. But Krishna is not bound by time, you know. Krishna comes instantly. It is just like you call him and he comes. So when we chant Krishna's holy name, we have to have understanding and assurance, just like when we call 911 and they help. Similar to that, we should have understanding that, there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. And when we are chanting, we are all protected. And forget about in the future or at the time of death. Yes, he will come. Not only that, he is protecting me right now. And when we see that, then we are very happy. And we want to pick up our chanting seriously. Like, why would somebody... So why would somebody chant, why would somebody call 911 if nobody shows up? Then nobody will call 911, right? So similar to that, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that many person has went go back to home, back to Godhead, and this is a path that, and the path is shown very nicely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Srila Prabhupada, chant. Hari nama, Hari nama, Hari nama, eva kevalam. Kalo nastiva, 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 gatirvandita. So this example I really like myself so much that, in a precarious condition, just like a normal person, like, you know, it's not big deal, but in America at least, that they will come and try to help you. Krishna is more superior than that. And see, only reason all this thing is happening so that we can understand it, that, just you call 911 and they came down. So similar to that, Ajamil, he just called Narayana and everybody came down and there is a service for him and he got taken care and he went back to home, back to Godhead. Gajendra, he remembered the Lord and he says, please come and help me, you know. So right away Krishna came on Garuda and, you know, he helped and things like that. So yes, that's my proof saying that even in a conscious or not, like, you know, you could call Krishna, please come, and then you became unconscious. Is Krishna is not going to come? Yes, he will come. Say, like, for example, you call 911 and then you became unconscious. You think that the 911 personnel will not come? Yes, police and them, they will come. All you did is call 911 and they will come. So similar to that, yes, because you have practiced throughout your life, okay, even at the end, Krishna knows and he will come and take care of you. Okay, Hare Krishna. Dhanvatmara.
Nice answer, Prabhu. Thank you very much for that example. Mataji can speak. Any questions? I guess time is running. I have no problem in case you have to attend next sessions.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. If no one has any questions, so we can end now. Pancha Kalpatrupyasya Kripa Sindhu Meva. Kripa
Chatrupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
जय नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय शिल प्रभुपाद
जय
ग्लोरी टू गुरु महाराज दंडवत प्रणाम हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू।